cold and crappy on a Monday afternoon in Fishtown, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Welcome into Undisputed. I'm Skip Bayless alongside Shannon Sharp over here.
Okay.
And we're going to tell you why Dak Prescott
hot take
deserves Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm just kidding. This is Kevin Kincaid and Dave Zeitlin with It's Always Soccer in Philadelphia. Good to be with you again after a long delay. Yeah, I think it's been like 5 weeks since
it's
did that.
It's been a hole in my life just not having this podcast.
Has there? Where there's kind of a hole in my mouth right now. I actually have stitches in my bottom lip. So if I sound funny at all.
Good segue.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I think I can form all of the words okay, but I had like a little dental thing done, so I have like this big gash in my mouth. I kind of look like a
hockey
player.
Were you at the dentist recently? Or?
Yeah, I look like a hockey player down here. I got this big line of stitches in the bottom of my mouth here, but I think I'm
was it from playing soccer or from podcasting? Or?
It might have been. Yeah, they think I had like a bruise in my mouth that caused some like thing to swell and turn into something that needed to be taken out. So I think it was from playing futsal. Yeah, I think it was playing indoor. I think I got elbowed in the face or something. I was trying to trace it back to like where I thought it might have come from, and that was my
and you're
best
still
guess,
podcasting. So. I mean, Josh Yarrow can't even play from his shoulder surgery, but you get hit in the mouth and you're still going.
Well, there's
110%.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on in Unionland, isn't there? But first, how have you been, man? It's been 5 weeks since we
It's been good.
We've been doing
being
the conference
back in the Penn
calls
bubble today was fun. I mean, I like being
Penn
over
bubble.
There at Penn. Obviously, I'm biased.
What have you been doing a lot? Like, you've been doing a lot of college basketball.
Yeah, doing a lot of college hoops, doing a lot of Penn stuff. So but it's nice. I guess we're only like a month away from the start of the season.
Yeah.
Or less than a month away.
Well, it's always weird, you know, because we get back in January and it's exciting because that first week, you know, they're usually at YSC or they're training at Penn or wherever, and we get the first week with them and everybody's kind of buzzing and there's some excitement or whatever. And then they go down to Florida and it kind of, there's like a 1 month where we're just sort of doing conference calls and preseason games and trying to keep the excitement going until season opener. But yeah, only a couple weeks away.
It's too bad none of us are full-time beat writers because we'd be
down there in Florida.
Right
now,
like all the Phillies writers.
I know. That's the dream, isn't it? Someday to make the Union beat important.
If you guys listen to this podcast enough, we will be full-time beat writers.
I think this
and
is where
Florida.
Yeah. I think this is where it starts right here. So we got Mitch, means we got to do a good job. Yeah, so a lot has happened. I think the last piece of information that happened since we did the last podcast was the Charlie Davies re-signing.
Yeah.
So actually, every single signing that they've made now, all the new and important ones or whatever have happened. So you want to go like front to back and just kind of do it in chronological?
Or
like what
start
we
with? I mean, the biggest ones. I mean, I guess Gooch and Harris were the two kind of eye-popping names just because they played in a World Cup. They played in Europe. They're kind of veteran.
So Gooch, Harris, Madujanin. Jay Simpson, obviously. So, I mean, start to finish, the first signing was Giuliano Wijnaldum, Jorginho Wijnaldum's brother. He's the left back who played at AZ under Ernie Stewart, and that's where the connection was. He played, he was at AZ for 3 years, only played 1 year because he was stuck behind Simon Poulsen for a couple years, who was a really, really good left back for them, and he was the starter for the Denmark international team. But Giuliano, only 24 years old, a lot of upside, and a guy who's already has a lot of experience for being that young. I mean, he turned pro when he was 18. So I'm interested to see what happens if he competes with Fabinho for the starting job right away or if they give it to Fabinho.
Yeah, we've been down there. We've asked a few questions. We haven't really touched on that too much. It seems like it's probably, if you look at the battles positionally, I think that's probably one that's kind of up in the air right now.
It's got to be the most interesting one, isn't it?
I think,
you know, you got Fabi who's going into the final year of his contract right now. Played really well last year, actually. I think he's improved. Obviously, every season that they've had him, he's gotten better. I don't like playing a new guy in an unfamiliar territory on turf in Vancouver to start the season.
That's true.
You know, I think I would just like to see Fabinho kind of start the first couple games. And if Wijnaldum can come in as a sub or if he eventually wins the job, then so be it. But I think his signing was more of a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. If Fabi's not going to be around next year. But the next signing I think they made was Jay Simpson, striker, the English striker. So, you know, my first impression was obviously a little bit underwhelmed. I mean, a guy's playing in League Two in England, so that's the fourth division over there, playing for Leighton Orient. Journeyman kind of guy who's bounced around to a lot of different places, came up through the Arsenal youth system, went on loan to Millwall, Queen's Park Rangers, Hull City. He went on loan to West Brom for a half season back in the day, like 7 or 8 years ago. And that was his only experience in the Premier League. But a lot of years in the Championship, 1 year in Thailand. Is he good enough to be the striker
for
this?
I guess it's probably not a fair comparison, but Bradley Wright Phillips is a guy like that who played in the lower division leagues in England, and he came here and was all of a sudden a star. So, I mean, obviously it's hard to compare those two now, but I'm sure Jay Simpson saw that route that BWP took and was like, maybe I could do that too.
Well, yeah, and it was interesting how they scouted him, because Chris Albright went over there, watched him play at Leyton Orient. He scored a ton of goals for them the season prior. He had 25 goals and 45 appearances, so we know he can score. Against what kind of competition, we don't know. You know, just watching him from the Chicago game the other day, he didn't get a ton of time on the ball, but the first couple touches that he had were good hold-up play, back to goal, you know, a defender on him, and he would kind of just cushion it nicely. And my dog's whining over there. Baxter, if you need to go out, just let me know.
He does not like Jay Simpson.
No.
He's very upset about the sign.
Either that or he sees a squirrel or something outside. So in that game, he had a couple shots on goal. Baxter, why don't you go downstairs, bud? If you keep whining, we're going to have to remove you from the room, all right? Anyway, what am I trying to say here? He had a couple shots. What I liked in the Chicago game the other day was that he had a couple little instances where there was one where he created his own shot, where he had that ball kind of stuck underneath his feet, and he got it out from his right foot onto his left, and he took a shot. And then he had one that just went wide after Ilsenia played a ball into Roland Alberger, kind of flicked it onto him. So, you know, the question really is he an upgrade over CJ Sapong, you know, and can he score double-digit goals?
I mean, do you think he's going to start? I mean, even if he doesn't, you still have three pretty good strikers, and there's a chance. I mean, Jim was talking about guys who won't even make the 18, and Charlie Davies right now looks like there's a pretty good chance he's not going to make the 18 in a lot of these games.
Well, that's nice, you know, that they have three good strikers, but do they have a great striker?
Right.
They don't need
it. They have three pretty good guys. All of them could have good seasons. They could all have 10 goals, maybe. I'm not sure about Charlie Davies.
We've been doing how long have we been doing this pod? Not for long, right? A half a year, right? But we always talk about, like, you need a superstar striker. They don't need another guy who's like CJ, and you don't need another guy who's like Charlie Davies. If you have three guys who are all the same, what's the point? You know, you need somebody who's going to go out and score 14, 15 goals for you. That's what this team has been missing for the longest time. And you go out and get a guy from the fourth division in England, I'm not going to get too excited about it. But I'm also going to reserve judgment because, like you said, you don't know if he's going to become the next Bradley Wright Phillips.
I think they've kind of made a decision. They're not going to spend like $3 million on a superstar striker, and this is what they're going to try.
Fans are just going to have to be content with that.
Just deal with it.
Just deal with it, because that's what it's going to be. And we know at this point. That's what it's going to be. Jay Simpson, I don't know. Maybe he comes out and he bags 20 goals. Who the hell knows? Or maybe he struggles.
I say 25.
But I'm not.
Maybe 30.
Yeah, I don't think he solves their problems at striker unless you see him take a big step forward right off the bat. And I don't know if he will. I really have no clue. I still think there's a big question mark there. I think the thing with him is if you take a step back and you ask yourself, how much better is he than CJ Sapong right now? I can't give you a definitive answer.
I think
you
hit the nail on the head. It's really hard with these off seasons to say how the team did without seeing the players, because we watch soccer, but we haven't seen Jay Simpson play much.
I saw him play like one game for like Hull back in the 2012.
It kind of brings me back to before the 2012 season. Do you remember they kind of like retooled their team and they signed Josie Martinez, Pahoy, Gabriel Gomez, and we were all like, we think these guys are good, but we're not sure. And it turned out it just didn't really work at all.
Yeah,
and
that
was a bad team. So I mean, it could be horrible, and it could be great, and it's just really hard for us to tell you right now.
Even you know what, Jay Simpson. Bradley Wright Phillips is one thing, but hoping that you become Bradley Wright Phillips, I mean, he scored the most goals in the league last year. I mean, like, he was a diamond in the rough kind of player, but that's a high ceiling, man. I think it's unrealistic for us to say that he could become this. I mean, I understand the guy came from a lower division in England. He was kind of an unheralded player there. That's why we make the comparison. Yeah. But Bradley Wright Phillips is one of the best strikers in the league.
It's a high ceiling.
So, I look at a guy like, you remember when Luke Rogers came over here and he played alongside Thierry Henry for that year? Luke Rogers even scored like 8 or 9 goals, didn't he? I mean, if you could get that out of him, maybe that's something. But I just don't know. I really have no idea.
You just have to trust the guys who are bringing them over. And I think a lot of fans trust Ernie Stewart. And back in 2012, when Peter Novak was making the calls, they probably didn't trust him as much. So, I mean, can Ernie find a star? A diamond in the rough? Certainly possible.
We'll find out. Then the next signing, I guess, was Well, I mean, the camp started, and the two trialists that they had in there were Fafa Picole, the Haitian slash American.
Who we talked to today? He's had an interesting journey. He was pretty cool talking today. He's bounced around to a lot of places. And mm-hmm. He had that one cap with the national team, I think, last May. And he's an interesting backstory.
So he's
friends with Chad Johnson. Oh, Jocinco.
I heard you asking those questions. I figured that would turn into a feature.
Hard hitting questions. Yeah. Me asking about Ocho Cinco.
So Fafa Fabrice is his first name. Played for Tampa Bay Rowdies and Fort Lauderdale Strikers, I think, right before making the move to St. Pauli in Germany. And that's where Jurgen obviously spotted him. Then that's why he got the cap, you know.
And everyone was pretty shocked at the time because they didn't know.
They didn't know who
the hell
he was.
Much about him. Like, who is this guy?
Well, also, too, but then, you know, that's the we kind of maybe go a little overboard with it, too. Or not overboard, but we also have to kind of take a step back and say, hey, look, this guy played a little bit in Germany, but we're calling him an American international when he has one cap, you know, and doesn't appear to be in the picture at all right now. So basically he's an NASL,
but he wants
player.
To get back, which he told us.
Oh, doesn't everybody, but I'm not going to be like, I'm not looking at him necessarily as a Bundesliga player and an American international. Predominantly his career has been played in NASL. So
he had one cap, though. That's pretty good. How many have you had?
Oh, zero.
So he's in the...
But does one cap make you an American international?
I mean...
You know what I'm saying? It's
he can like tell his grandkids can... about it someday.
It's like semantics, you know? It's like, you know, when I think of an American international, I think of Ali Bedoya, who's played like 50 times.
It is hard to call them. It's like you don't want to call him like a former national team player either, because he's still technically in the picture. He could be called in. So.
But those things always require more context, you know? You could say, I mean, I know a lot of fans are like asking us, like, hey, you know, now all these people that they have on the team, how many played for the national team at one point? Well, you have Gooch, Bedoya, Edu.
Carroll. It's a lot, yeah.
Picole, Pontius now. But like how many of those guys are like relevant in the picture? I know they have the experience and they add something, you know, with the appearances that they made for the national team, but I don't put a ton of stock into it. Yeah, exactly. Gooch, you want to talk about Gooch?
Yeah, I mean,
or should we do Medujanin first, because we want to talk about Yarrow and the injury and
is that in right order? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. So Haris Medujanin, 31 years old, Bosnian international who's playing for Maccabi Tel Aviv, and they played in their Europa League last year. He played in Turkey, played in Spain,
played in the World Cup
against
Leo Messi.
He did.
He was pretty good.
He touched him once. He played at Alkmaar in 2008. That was before Ernie was there. So I don't know. I guess just the Netherlands connection, the Dutch connection. I mean, I guess Ernie knew him from, you know, them both being in Holland at the time. But I don't think he played at AZ while Ernie was there. A ball moving number eight, like a Vince Nogueira replacement. You know, he's a guy who comes back. Watching a lot of film of him, he likes to get the ball deep and kind of like cycle the ball. And that's just what they were missing in that spot.
But
last year when Nogueira left.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Eight seems like his preferred position, but Jim also said he could play the six. And maybe once Mo gets back, you put Mo at the eight with him at the six and Bedoya at the 10. Do you think that could work well?
I think that's probably the plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, because you. Because I think Bedoya is slotted in as the number 10 this year. That's where they played him when Barnett was injured.
But right now, with assuming Adu's not going to play for the first game, I guess you start Craval at the 6 with Harris at the 8 and
Bedoya playing at the 10. See, right, because if you cycled it back one step and say you had Roland Alberg playing at the 10, and you had Bedoya at the 8, and you had Medujanin playing at the 6.
That could work.
It's a lot of possession, man. That's a lot of creativity, but there's no... I who's playing defense in that one? Yeah. Everything that I watch from Medujanin and the highlight videos and stuff like that, and like the one World Cup game that I saw him play, I think there was a Europa League game that I saw him play too. He's not like he's not like Warren Carvalho. He's not going to get stuck into tackles. He's not going to chase down a guy 20 yards and dispossess him or anything like that. But Baxter, just relax over there. but he's not like, you know, you need that guy with defensive metal too. I don't know if you remember last year in the preseason they did a little bit of experimentation where they had Vince Nogueira playing as a 6.
Yeah.
And they had Barnetta playing the 8 and Roland was playing the 10. They did that a little bit in preseason last year. I think maybe thinking that it might work, but it just didn't like Vince didn't play enough defense to protect the back line, you know.
And they had Craval and Carroll who both had pretty good seasons last year. I mean,
They did.
Jim would probably be comfortable with either one of those guys of the six. I mean, Kyrle's going to play forever, but...
Yeah, and listen, Carvall doesn't need to be the distributor. The difference right. between... The difference between Carvall playing next to Bedoya and Carvall playing next to Medujanin is that Ali doesn't drop deep enough to receive the ball and start the play. Like, he's just kind of there. You know, Vince Noguera will drop back and demand it, say, hey, play it here, and then he'll move it. Medujanin looks to be that same kind of player, which allows Warren then to step forward, kind of vacate that space, but then play defense when he needs to. And that's why Vince and Brian Carroll were such good partners in the midfield, because Brian Carroll understood that spacing, you know, and he knew how to let Vince do his thing, you know. So,
but anyway, it sounds like Harris just arrived in Philly today, Jim said. So we'll probably be able to see him in these next couple of our preseason games.
Yeah. So the next one is what's today? The 14th? No, today's the 13th. So they play Saturday. They fly back down on Tuesday tomorrow, the 14th, and then they play the Tampa Bay Rowdies on the 18th. As they defend their Suncoast Invitational tournament trophy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Harris Medujanin was in...
That was the biggest title in franchise history.
I think it was, yeah.
It was a parade down Broad Street.
It was. There was.
Oh, so much snark.
And terrible. The city paid for it.
So, Gooch?
Gooch. So, he was... He showed up at training on day one.
That first day, we were all there. The was. And Jim and Ernie were like, "He's not going to sign. And you're getting way too ahead of yourself." And a couple days later, he signed. So I guess he impressed them, or they were just kind of downplaying it at first. But they definitely made it seem like he was just there to kind of stay fit and just play. But they didn't even make it seem like it was an option to sign him. And then, sure enough,
it happened. What, like maybe a week later?
Did the press release come out?
So I
think it's cool. I mean, everyone knows this, but I mean, 10 years ago, he was one of the biggest names in American soccer. He was on the same level probably as like Landon Donovan, Hod DeMarcus Beasley. I mean, obviously he hasn't played in 2 years. He's old, but I mean, I still think it's a cool move. He's saying all the right things. I think he's playing well. He's impressed Jim. So I think as a starter, I think he could be pretty good.
Well, he can say whatever the hell he wants, but he's got to stay healthy. You know, and now with Josh Yarrow not being able to play, I mean, you're looking at your starting right center back in Vancouver. Baxter, just relax, or I'm gonna put you outside. Is there a cat or something, or a squirrel? What is he looking at? He looks. Sorry, my dog looks out the front window. We got a big window at the front here, and he looks outside and he just sees like squirrels and cats and stuff like that walking around. So
is it Gooch, maybe?
Oh, I hope not. But he. Gooch hasn't played in 2 years, you know, and now he's going to be your starting right back on turf in Vancouver, going up against like Kakuta Mane and.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be thrown right in the fire, but I mean, Jim told us he's playing well. He's the choice right now over Ken Tribbett. So
yeah,
I mean, would you rather have Tribbett there based on?
Well, no, because then you're just going back to what you had last season. Yeah. And
I mean, it sucks for Yarrow because it seems like he was kind of penciled in as a starter. I mean, Jim said he's having a good preseason.
Yeah,
he is the long term starter at center back. Him and Marquez probably is the pairing of the future. So
1 second, right here. Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
The dog has been kicked out.
Yeah, I had to kick the dog out of the...
He was red carded without even getting the first yellow.
No, I just feel bad because I want him to like be able to be in here. But like I say, he just sits and looks out the window. And if he sees an animal or something, he just starts whining and crying. And we're trying to do an important work in
this
here.
This is very important work.
So Marquez and Yara was supposed to be the pair going in. And you know, they complement each other well because Richie's a bigger and stronger guy. And Jim said it today. You know, with Josh, you lose a speed option, you know, when he's not there. Josh is an undersized center back, still really fast and able to put out fires and stuff like that. And Gooch is kind of the same player as Richie Marquez and Ken Tribbett. You know, they're both bigger guys who win the ball in the air. And I just don't think it gives you enough variation back there. And I hope Gooch has the speed to... You know, I just think about Ken Tribbett getting beat over the top by Sebastian Giovinco and Josie and guys like that. And when they signed Gooch, I was like, yeah, it's a good signing as long as he doesn't play too many games, because he can mentor the younger guys, Austin Trusty, Yarrow, Tribbett, Marquez, and maybe you use him as a spot starter to make like 6 to 10 starts. But I didn't expect him to be playing right off the bat. You know?
They playing Toronto week 2, I think, is their home opener.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Ken Tribbett, isn't it?
God. Well, I just don't, you know, every team needs a good third center back. Like, you know, if you looked at like Real Salt Lake last year, you know, they had Aaron Mond and God, who's the young kid? Justin Glad playing back there. But like Jaimison Olave, who was like same age as Gooch, same kind of player as Gooch, had to start like 10 to 12 games for them last year. Probably played more than that, but you know you need a solid third center back. So I don't know. Again, it's like the same thing with Simpson. Is he going to be good? I have no clue. I mean, we've seen what Gooch has been able to be, but he hasn't played in 2 years.
I think a small platoon with Tribbett, maybe, like, if you want to start Tribbett that first game in Vancouver, I would understand why, just because it's on turf, and then have Gooch come for the home opener and just kind of go back and forth a bit until Josh gets back.
So right now on February 13th, who starts next to Richie Marquez in Vancouver?
I think it'll probably be Gooch.
You think? Well, but who? Okay, so
who do I prefer?
We know that Gooch is next on the depth chart, but like, who do you think he's going to be healthy or like ready or preferred to play?
Yeah, I mean, unless he gets hurt during the preseason, I'd see no reason why.
Yeah, I just have this weird feeling. It's not that Ken Tribbett's going to be in the
I have a weird feeling Tribbett's going to be in the starting lineup for that Toronto game. And ask me the big storyline all week, because every Toronto game last year was
poor
like,
guy, man.
Like
he gets stuck with every Toronto game.
Yeah.
And Ken had good games last year, but his
bad scored against
games
Toronto.
Were more,
it was a roller coaster for him. Yeah,
his bad stuck. Games were more pronounced than his good games last year. So I don't want to sit here and rag on Ken Tribbett. I think the fans are get on Ken more than we do, but
he was good. I mean, he has good qualities. He's great in the air. I mean, there are some things he does well. He just had a little trouble with some of the stars of the league.
Austin Trusty, does he get a shot?
Yeah, it's possible. I think right now
he's going to be playing with the U-20s for qualifiers. So
I guess
we'll see how good he is.
I mean, you know, he's only two hamstring injuries away right now from being a starter. I mean, you know, it's like he might have to.
Who else? Any other? Did we miss any of
these?
The draft? Anything interesting about the draft?
They signed him. I mean, they didn't do too much in the draft because they didn't have a first round pick. But then they signed Adam Nahem, who Jim said would.
Oh yeah, did we get a pronouncer on that today?
Am I saying it wrong?
I thought
Nahem. Sorry,
I thought they said
I fired myself.
Nahem.
But anyway, Curtin said
they told me, but I can't remember.
Yeah, but Curtin said he would have been a top five pick. So just on paper, you think that's pretty good to not have a first round pick and to get this guy, who's one of the best college players in the country. I mean, he scored a lot in college for Akron. He had like 35 goals. Yeah,
Akron. Yeah, and he was sort of like an attacking midfielder guy who just had a nose for goal. Even watching him in training today, he looked to be in and around the ball a lot. I had a couple shots.
It's pretty small, but
he hit wide. Small guy, but Harry Shipp for a comparison. I don't know, because I think he's a little faster than Shipp, but
I mean,
it's
weird to in terms of college production. Those guys were both. Yeah,
in terms of that, for sure. I don't know if you know, whenever you look at like a number 10, think of an American player being like a shifty like playmaker. Yeah. It's not, there aren't a ton of them. You know, yeah. I mean, that role is always sort of reserved to like the foreign guy, like the clever like Latino guy who comes in like a Christian Maidana or something like that.
It might be hard for him to get in the 18 at least early on if you have Alberg as their top 10 off
the bench.
Which is interesting, because if he really is a top five draft pick, like most of those guys do see some minutes. It's like last year at Keegan, Herbers, those guys were all playing, but it just seems like a deeper team. So as a rookie for him, and even for like Fafa, it might be hard for him to play early on.
You just mentioned Keegan. Did we miss any other signings?
I think we got all the signings.
We
can talk about national team quickly before getting into questions. So yeah, Keegan obviously was disappointing. I know you asked Jim about this, the fact that they sent him home and then played Graham Zuzi
right back. Yeah.
Didn't sit well with
me, because I guess I got to back it up for context here, right? So Bruce Arena's taken over the team for his second stint. They're behind in World Cup qualifying. He's got an ultra-important qualifier coming up against Honduras, right? January camp is usually when you give guys, experiment with guys, you give young guys like Keegan a chance to experience the international game for the first time. You don't have your foreign guys or your foreign-based guys there, so you don't have DeAndre Yedlin, Fabian Johnson, John Brooks, Timmy Chandler. And your two best right backs, Yedlin and Chandler, are both playing overseas, right? So do you give Keegan so the thought is that Bruce and these friendlies wanted to roll out a competitive squad to kind of see what he had here as far as his domestic-based players, you know? But, yeah, Graham Zusi, 30-year-old midfielder playing right back, I know that when they play Honduras, that DeAndre Yedlin or Timmy Chandler is going to be playing right back. So
doesn't matter anyway.
Does it really matter? Yeah. No, but you know, the conceptually, like the idea of if it doesn't matter, then why the hell experiment with 30-year-old Graham Zusi playing right back anyway?
I mean, I guess it doesn't really bode well for Keegan, right? I mean, if he's not if he's not going to play at right back when Chandler and Yedlin aren't with the team, he's probably not going to play for.
Well, right. If your third right back experiment is a 30-year-old midfielder, and if you get to your third right back anyway, you're probably screwed. And so, so why not let Rosenberry play? Because Zusi is not the freaking future at right back, but Keegan might be.
He could be looking ahead to a qualifier if like Yedlin gets carded or hurt, and he has Graham Zusi in his 18-man.
So now we can say he did it a couple times.
So can you put him in like a right back?
I understand the logic.
Just a case of emergency.
I mean, understand the logic. I just thought it was just kind of like, it just felt like after years of Jurgen, it felt like another Jurgen move, didn't it? Like playing a guy out of position or trying to have
him. Let's congratulate Chris Pontius for getting two caps. I mean, that's a cool story for him.
Good for him, man.
He was out of it for a while and he came back. And for a Union player to come in for a Union player in a national team game. I don't care if it's a friendly in January. That's a cool thing for this team because they haven't had too many national team guys over the
years. And you've heard a lot of quotes about that from Ernie and Jim over the last like couple months where they said that they want to be a team that produces players for the United States national team, and they've sort of rededicated themselves to the American player and even veteran guys like Charlie Davies and Gucci Anyewu and whatnot. And that's good. That's good to see. I mean, they
it's been a long time. If you remember, Jack McInerney's call-up, I think, was the first, and he didn't get a cap. And then Marisa Due, he played in one game, I think, during the World Cup run-up. And then he didn't make the World Cup roster. So Union players on a national team before Bedoya was few and far between.
Yeah, I remember Jeff Park got that January.
That was before he was with the Union.
But before he was with the Union. He was in between.
Oh,
Yeah, but even then, I don't think he got a cap in that game. And we always used to get press releases about like a Moby and Jack and like Zach Pfeffer.
That's the thing. All those guys were in the youth. I think the Olympic team was what? It was a Moby, Shannon, Jack. And
Shannon was on it, yeah.
And Freddie Adu. I think they had four, and Freddie Adu was a captain. So like you think back then to all those under 23 guys, like why?
So what went wrong? Did the Union just completely just destroy their development, or was it?
I've written columns about this before. I mean, the way we looked at Shannon, Moby, Jack, these guys were all considered like future stars. And I think maybe part of it is the league has gotten better. Maybe those guys weren't quite as good as we thought, but I mean, it wasn't the Union, because you see these guys now and they're not really sticking with any teams too much or like
that's
sticking
true.
In the lineups.
So. Yeah, a lot of guys that they've got rid of aren't really playing predominant roles right now. Shannon was traded in the offseason. I think Moby re-signed to Portland, and Jack is apparently being shopped right now. So.
Yeah, they want to trade him. That's too bad for Jack not going to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, because I know he's from there and would have loved to play with them for their
cool for him,
but the Atlanta looks like they're going to kick some asses without Jack McInerney's help anyway. So
should we get the questions? We're running late here.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, we haven't done one in a while, and we had to kick the dog out, so it's like an extra minute, of stoppage time there. All right, do we go to Twitter questions? What do we?
Let's see. Let me scroll through here. So the first three questions are all about Oguchi, Onyewu, Ken Tribbett, Austin Trusty with Yarrow Hurt. So we kind of talked about that. One guy asked, Dean Moriarty asked, how much did the injury change your outlook for the season? Did it change it for you at all, Yarrow?
The Yarrow injury?
It's hard to say the entire outlook for the season, because we kind of knew that they'd have like a rotating cast of center backs. I mean, I think it could cost them a little bit earlier in the season. It kind of depends on Gooch.
Might not get off to a great start.
Now. I wouldn't say it changed the outlook in the season, though, do you?
No, they might be behind the eight ball to start the season, and I don't know how they're going to play in these first two games. But, I mean, just with all the games Yara missed last year, five injuries in 8 months now, you know? And his injury was the same shoulder as last year, and they decided not to get surgery done. He had surgery on the other shoulder for the same thing. So now he's had the same injury on both shoulders. He had surgery on the other one, but not this one until a week ago. So I'm not, you know, I don't know anything about the medical side of it, but I guess back last year they told us, you know, they thought about doing surgery last year, but decided that he didn't need it, and they dislocated it again. So I guess they're just like, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and do like a Joel Embiid whatever the hell injury, did they do the right thing with it or not? Andrew Bynum, whatever the hell or not.
Was
it
Josh Yarrow to me, dancing to any Meek Mill concerts on stage? Have you seen?
I hope not. But you know what I mean? It sounds like one of those injuries, your shoulder, where you can have surgery for it or it'll just kind of heal on its own or whatever. And there's not really a medically accepted. There's not really a consensus way where to go with it.
You can, and he's a guy you would want to be cautious with. Like, he could be here for like 5 years as the starting center back.
Right.
Like,
so don't mess with it now if you don't have to. Yeah.
All right. From Rich Ells, who is most likely to outperform expectations headed into the preseason? So Jim mentioned his expectations are already high, but Jim mentioned Fabian Herbers is a guy who's been playing well in the preseason. So he could be a guy that starts. He could be a guy that has 10 goals, 10 assists. I mean, he could have a pretty big year.
Jim loves Herbers, doesn't he?
Who do you think?
And Fabian played well, I mean, towards the tail end last year. But he was a weird case because, again, he probably played his best soccer when the team wasn't doing so well. So it was just kind of hard to judge who's got the best outlook or exceed expectations. That was the question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it would be Jay Simpson, right? Because we don't really have many expectations.
Expectations.
Yeah, we don't. It's not that we have low expectations. We just don't.
Zero.
We don't know what they are. Yeah. I'd say Jay Simpson.
Okay. SW Whistler, is that his name? So he's talking about speed. He said, "Our thoughts about the speed with Gooch, Elsino, and either Carroll or Carval in the lineup. It feels slow. Could see us being burned by some teams." Well, I think Elsino might not start. I think Herbers might start on the right wing.
I think you're probably right, although I think Elsino is the better player.
Yeah.
I mean, every single game.
But if Elsino, Carroll, and Gooch all start, is that too slow for an MLS team these days?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of positionally where they line up. I mean, you still have Keegan over there, and you still have Bedoya, who like kind of get into those areas.
Yeah.
But I would be worried if they had a slow fullback. I think if anything, Keegan is going to have to play a little bit differently next to Gooch, because with Yarrow next to him, he's not going to be as mobile. And you know how Keegan likes to bomb forward, and we might just have to keep an eye on Gooch a little bit more and just give him a little bit more help and pinch inside. And if that might affect him getting up the flank, but we'll see.
Doesn't matter about a Brian Carroll speed. He could be playing in a wheelchair and he'll still find a way to break up some play.
That's true.
Kevin Chang, who's going to be the third goalkeeper? And a two-parter, lots of new talent in MLS. How does the Union compare it to the other strengthened teams? So have you heard much about their goalkeeper? I mean, Jim said last week they're going to sign someone. I mean, they had
Keith Cardona, I think, who was the Indy 11 goalkeeper. He was in camp in Florida with him. We didn't see him today, did we? The guy with the long hair?
I don't think he was at training.
I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest. Because
that's probably their last signing, right?
Yeah. How many times did they use the third goalkeeper last year? Once.
Once, Matt Jones.
Yeah, and he didn't even really want, and Jim didn't even really want to. They just had something against him for whatever reason. I don't know why.
But, maybe this wasn't that good.
Was the second part of the question?
The one game he played, Jones, he wasn't really that good. So maybe just,
Lots
of new talent in the league. Just how does the U in general, I guess when you compare their moves to some of the other teams who kind of upgraded, like Chicago, like they had some good moves. How would you kind of compare what the Union are doing?
I mean, it's the Union are getting better, but they're still not making the moves that other teams are making, you know? Yeah.
They didn't go after like one huge player. They just kind of got like four or five guys, all of whom can be good, but
yeah,
there's no like superstar really in the mix.
Well, there weren't a ton. I mean, it kind of changed this offseason. I wrote a story about it that actually did really well, so thanks to anybody who read that one. The one about MLS not being retirement league. Well, they're just not a lot of 30-something-year-olds coming into the league this winter. Even the LA Galaxy, who used to sign like Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane and stuff like that, they signed a 27-year-old dude from Marseille, a really good winger, and they signed a 23-year-old D-mid from Portugal, and so even though LA is going a different way, but they if you look at like what Atlanta did, signing all these like 20-something-year-old like really really good Latino kids, not Latino, I mean they're like from South America, right? So like Miguel Almiron, Chicago got an Nemanja Nikolic.
Yeah.
Salt Lake gets a 22-year-old Albert Rusnak. I mean, like what the hell are these signings? These are great, you know. Guys that were like in their prime or they're really young, and people aren't going to necessarily know who they are, but they're going to be great players in this league. I mean, think about Real Salt Lake replaced Javier Morales with a 22-year-old who's just as good as he is, probably better.
Okay.
But so no, I don't think Philly's keeping up with it as well as they should.
Yeah. Okay. Jeffrey Mitchell asks, can you let us know what you think about the huge union news that's bound to drop the day after EarPod with a little Back to the Future gift?
Oh yeah, there's always something. Like, yeah. There's always something like that, isn't there? Yeah.
I don't think there's gonna be much this week unless they sign that third goalkeeper.
Yeah, that'll be the last. That'll probably be the last signing yeah. too, right? They're not gonna do anything else.
It sounds like they're probably done. How many roster spots they have left? That was the whole thing on that call.
Tannewald was trying to figure it out, wasn't he? Yeah.
John Tannewald. There's our Tannewald reference for that. Yeah. Just hounding Curtin.
John did a good job of kind of trying to following up on that, and then Jim clarified and said, "Yeah, you get like an extra roster spot or something this year because of the homegrown. If you have a certain amount of homegrown players on them."
Amy Cicero, our friend, what's the best press box meal you've had at the stadium? Is it Thanksgiving dinner? Yeah, that Thanksgiving one's usually pretty good.
That would be yours, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. There's some bad ones I don't like. What's yours?
My favorite one there. I like when they had those. What are those? Do they have like cheesesteak pierogies or something?
Yeah,
did they make those?
I'm not as big a fan.
You
of
didn't
those.
Like those?
They're okay.
I like the cheesesteaks. They do like taco night maybe like once a season, don't they? Why don't they do that more often?
Yeah, they should have more tacos.
I gotta say the PPL or the PPL talent arrangements are actually a lot. Like probably the top five in the league, at least as far as where I've been.
It's free press meals.
It's free press meal. It's good. I mean, we have a nice like press lounge. Our press box is great. Like I think we have it really good. I mean, like other places, you got to pay and stuff like that. And like New York's okay, but like their food's probably not as good. So I think we're in pretty good shape. We're thankful for that.
It was all downhill once Amy left, though. I feel like she needs to come back to get some better food in. Matt asked, "Have you been given any indication as to whether Edu will play towards the start, end of the season, or at all? I mean, at all? I think we've been given the indication that he's going to play soon in the first month, probably. But
he wasn't even out there.
It's hard to tell. I mean,
today he only started running like a couple, like maybe a week and a half ago, right? So yeah, I don't think he's as close as other people think.
Okay, Rich Ransom, will Union fans ever stop complaining about not having a big name on the roster? Probably not.
No, but they're very much inclined to do that. You know?
I mean, I'd say Gooch is a big name. I mean, I mean, maybe 10 years too late, but
in terms of American
soccer players.
But the funny thing about it too is that this city is so lame when it comes to soccer that you could go out and sign like a really, really, really great like player, and people around here wouldn't know unless it was like Messi or Ronaldo. They wouldn't.
We were talking
about
that before. There are a lot of big media people, whether on TV or the radio or the newspapers. They just really hate soccer, like no matter what. Like even if they did bring in someone.
No, and there's like there's people who like keep their soccer fandom like in the closet. Like I know a lot of like producers and a lot of like people in radio who do like watch like the English Premier League or stuff like that, which is a start. And but they just like keep it like on the down low, like they're afraid to say something about it. Like I could go through all the like producers at 97.5 and WIP and all their talent and everything. I could tell you what soccer team they support, you know.
So
they'll never talk about it on the radio, or they'll never admit that they do, because for some reason you lose like credibility with the wing bowl crowd or something. Then, but
so what's the over under on the guys who would really kind of move the needle as front page news?
Lionel Messi,
Ronaldo, Landon Donovan, maybe
Neymar. Know who it was, but would they give a crap?
I think it's maybe five. I think it's probably five players in the world.
No, I don't think. No, seriously, I don't think anybody. I don't think Mike Missanelli knows who Neymar is.
Yeah, but he'd be told enough to be like, you should probably mention this guy's one of the best players in the world.
Would Mike Barkan know who Neymar is? No, he doesn't even know who the Philadelphia Union are. what do we got?
Union Hulk. If one Union player could hold the nuclear football, who would it be? Hulky picks Danny Califf. No one will try to take it from him. That's a good choice, Califf. So we're talking history. I mean, I guess you got to go with like a goalie or a defender, right? Really, someone.
Oh, you're going for like a tactical kind of thing. I would give it to Fabinho because he's so friendly and happy all the time that he would never drop a nuke on anybody.
I don't know. I could see Fabinho was like accidentally just like blowing up a country.
we'll tell him that next time we see him.
So is there an answer? I guess I need to pick someone. Yeah. How about Jeff Park?
That's a good one.
Everyone talks about Yarrow and his injuries potential. This is from Ryan Rose. What about Richie Marquez? Where do you put his ceiling? I think he still has a high ceiling. I mean, people... I was kind of lumping him in at the beginning of last season with a player like Birnbaum. I mean, kind of similar in age. I'd like to see Marquez get a sniff with the national team. He probably needs to improve a bit more for that to happen, but I think he could be a good MLS player for a long time.
Yeah, Richie's got to take a step forward, doesn't he? Because he's 24 now, going to be 25, a couple years in the league. He's got to kind of be the vocal leader of the defense. Well, I guess he won't have to be if Gooch is playing there, but yeah, Richie's got to kind of take the next step up because he's got to show that he's as good as Birnbaum is a really good comparison. You know, guy who's like his age who also came through the draft, yeah, but was a high draft pick. Yeah, and I'd like to see Richie get a little nastier in on set pieces too, because I think he has a tendency to get screened and get lost in there a little bit. And I think as he gets a little bit older and he'll learn some of those veteran moves and what he can get away with and things that he can do there. But he's a solid defender, and he played 33 games last year. He would have played 34 if they had started him in the first one, but they didn't for whatever reason.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Anderson and Ken Tribbett in Dallas.
So maybe Curtin has another trick up his sleeve in Vancouver. We'll see. All right, those are all the questions we have.
Okay, cool.
That was over 40 minutes, our longest ever podcast.
Yeah, we don't usually do them that long because we like to keep them nice and compact, but we had a lot to talk about. We had to kick the dog out the window. I had to start and stop a couple times, you made it this far, you didn't realize that I edited it three times. But Baxter's outside.
Our next podcast from Florida. You want to head down there? If any listeners want to pay for our trips down there.
Yeah, or any editors out there. They're looking to up their union content going into the new season. We would be cool with that as well. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. And sorry it was so long in between podcasts. We'll do another one before the season starts, but until then, enjoy the Suncoast Invitational.
Yeah,
as the Union look to defend their title. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Kevin Kincaid and Dave Zeitlin. It's always soccer in Philadelphia. Peace.